You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up to Nahariya, down south to Eilat, and all the great cities in between, whether it's Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Rishon LeZion, and many, many more. Today we go over the ocean to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We speak to Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com. Jonathan Mayo talks to us about the Israel baseball national team. We talk about his history with the team, the documentary Heading Home. We also discuss, of course, the upcoming Olympics, where Israel is one of six teams playing for Olympic glory. There are three medals for six teams. Israel has a great chance. We break that all down from the history of the Israel baseball team all the way to present day. And then we get into a conversation about the two Orthodox Jewish baseball players that were drafted, Jacob Steinmetz and Eli Kligman. We talk about what their chances are coming through, the great story behind it. Jonathan Mayo has been with Israel Baseball and supporting them for so many years. It was such an honor to have him on board here with us today. It was an incredible conversation. I am sure you will enjoy it. If you enjoy all of our great podcasts, make sure to subscribe. Google Podcast, Apple iTunes, and of course Spotify. We are at all those great places. Leave us a 5-star rating. Of course, at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, in English and in Hebrew. We'll be covering the Olympic Games up and down and all around. We will be telling you all the great stories. You can check out our Olympic tab already on sportsrabbi.com for a bunch of interviews of some of the great athletes that are going to be participating in the games. We are looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to this conversation with Jonathan Mayo, and I'm sure you will too. We'll speak to you soon.
You're listening to The Sports Rabbi.
All right, we're back here with The Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to The Sports Rabbi Show, where we bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up to Nahariya, down south to Eilat, and all the great places in between, whether it's Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and many, many more. Today we go over the Atlantic Ocean all the way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where we are speaking to Jonathan Mayo of MajorLeagueBaseball.com, MLB.com. Of course, Jonathan Mayo is one of the Israel baseball experts, and we're excited to have him on, of course, because Israel is going to be playing in the Olympics baseball. They are one of six teams representing the Holy Land, along with the United States, Mexico, South Korea, Japan. It's going to be a fun time, and Jonathan Mayo is going to help break us down with that. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
I'm doing okay. Good to talk to you.
Same here. Well, first of all, I gotta know right off the bat, Jonathan, how did you get involved with the Israel baseball team? I know this has been kind of a passion project for you for at least a decade. I know that you've been very instrumental. So just let everybody know, how come you've been so involved in this great project?
Well, I'm going to sort of reiterate some of the voiceover from the, I'll give the shameless plug to Heading Home now, but growing up, as a Jew who played baseball, I maxed out in high school, but I think like in a lot of walks of life, you want to have role models or people who have similar backgrounds. And so there was always an obsession with Jews in sports and Jews in baseball. And there were, there weren't that many when I was a kid. We've had, more since, but so there's always been an interest there. And then the idea of baseball in Israel was always intriguing to me, knowing that it, be a little bit of a tough sell and uphill climb. And, going back to the 1 year of the sort of ill-fated professional league there, I wrote some stories about that back when I was doing kind of a semi-regular freelance thing for the Weekly Jewish Chronicle, the Jewish newspaper here in Pittsburgh. And then, kind of dates back to the first team that tried to qualify for the World Baseball Classic and didn't. And I had heard about the team. I had gotten connected with some Israel baseball people, you know, and I remember, you know, and Josh Zide talks about it a lot, how he, you know, he sort of recruited himself, but he and I had a conversation what now seems a million years ago when he was playing in the Arizona Fall League before that first qualifier. And, you know, I had heard that they were putting together this team and I had gotten to know Josh during the Fall League. And he was like, we're, you know, he couldn't sign up fast enough. So the connection sort of started there. Although I didn't like get to cover that, that qualifier and or anything like that. And then fast forward, you know, it really the sort of genesis of the movie, was working with my friend, Jeremy Neuberger, his partner Daniel Miller and Seth Kramer. Now Daniel and Jeremy and I all grew up in Young Judea together. So I, you know, I've known Jeremy and Daniel for, you know, 30 some odd years. And we had been trying to continually come up with projects. And we originally had an idea of sort of almost like sort of a baseball birthright, bringing Jewish baseball players to Israel just to explore, you know, all these players who, you know, who always embraced being known as Jewish, but like I knew they didn't, their identities didn't go much beyond that. I said, well, boy, this would be kind of a fascinating thing. And that was the whole idea. And we actually had a trip planned. I'm giving you a very long-winded answer to this, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. You can't stop me. So we had a whole trip planned, but it was, you know, with, you know, Ian Kinsler and Kevin Youkilis, you know, guys like that, the sort of bigger names. And then it just kind of fell apart and we thought, all right, that's it. This just wasn't meant to be. And like a month later was when Team Israel qualified for the World Baseball Classic, you know, for the, you know, and so I got a call from Jeff Ader, who runs the Jewish Baseball Museum. And we had been talking about the first project. And it turned out that he had had dinner with Ron Dermer, the ambassador. And, you know, they were talking about at the time, you know, people, you know, who listen to this probably know, like, I thought it was great to, you know, shine a positive light on Israel and have these people go and then come back and talk about it. And he's like, it'd be great if we could do that with baseball players. And Jeff Ader was like, wait, I know a guy. So he called me and we were off and running. And then, you know, we did the trip to Israel and we followed them in the World Baseball Classic. And that really cemented it into place just because I was, you know, so involved, with, you know, with the project filming wise, but also, you know, working closely with Peter Kurz and other people in Israel in Israel baseball, you know, Margot Sugarman and, you know, folks like that. And, you know, planning the trip to Israel through them and then, you know, very involved, in, you know, when we were in Asia. And I've also, you know, because I'm here and I cover baseball for a living, mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't say I was a scout by any stretch of the imagination, but I was very good at sort of making sure that he was aware of every Jewish
member of the tribe.
Player.
You were looking for members of the tribe.
Yes. That was it. And I mean, he like, they do a pretty good job. And more often than not, I'd be like, hey, you know about this guy. And they were sort of already on it. But like, I think I helped uncover, you know, a person or two. And I will take 5% credit for Josh Zide being.
Yes. You know. Yeah. He mentioned that in the interview I did with him that was just published, actually today in the special supplement of the Jerusalem Post. So he mentioned that it's all your fault that he's involved in Israel baseball right now.
Excellent.
Of course, we're on here with Jonathan Mayo, MLB.com, talking about Israel baseball. I mean, how miraculous was it that Israel performed so well at the World Baseball Classic? I don't think anybody in the world saw this coming. You know, I don't think, you know, the only people that maybe believed were the people involved in it themselves. But even then, I don't think any of us in the public really thought that, wow, Israel's going to make noise and actually get out of their group and, you know, really become this baseball power that would then lead to having a bunch of these guys having to make aliyah in order to qualify for the Olympics and then somehow maneuver through this almost impossible journey through the qualifiers, which is not easy, to get to the Olympic Games. It's just absolutely, it's like, it's a miracle.
Yeah, and I think the Olympic qualifying was more surprising than the WBC run. Mm-hmm. And mostly because, you know, that there were sort of two kind of thoughts about that team, right? The international press thought they were like the JV US team, which was right. not true. And, you know, then, you know, people in the United States thought they were, you know, kind of has-beens and wannabes and, you know, that sort of thing. And the truth was somewhere in between. And you know, I'll be honest with you, when we went, we really thought that like the movie was going to be focused almost entirely on the trip to Israel. And then, you know, the sort of climactic scene with them, you know, playing in the first game in Korea. Right. Look, they made it there. Wonderful. And, you know, it would be kind of a short film. And then they, you know, then they started winning and it turned into the more of a baseball underdog kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is, I remember when I was going, I was like, I knew nothing about the teams they were playing. You know, I looked, you know, I scanned the rosters of Korea and Chinese Taipei just for mm-hmm. big league names. And there were one or two for Korea and Chinese Taipei, like their league was a mess. So I'm like, I didn't know who was on that team. I think mm-hmm. they had one guy who had played, you know, at a high level professionally. And they knew the Netherlands was very good.
Right.
So, but, you know, looking at the team that Israel baseball had assembled, you know, even if there were guys who, you know, were independently guys or had been up and down or at the end of their careers, like a lot of them had played in the big leagues or had played at a very high level of minor league baseball. So I'm like, they were going to compete. And I knew going in, I'm like, I think they're going to be a little bit better than people expect. Like, I think some people thought they were going to go and just get, you know, wiped out, you right. know, 10-0 every game.
Yeah.
Right. So I, you know, but when they won that first game, you know, against Korea, I'm like, huh. Right. And then, you know, I think this, the scariest thing for me is when they made it through and they beat Cuba.
Right.
And all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second, could they actually make it to the semifinal in Los Angeles? In which case I would have had a huge scheduling problem because I went straight from Japan to Florida for spring training coverage. Yeah. I do not recommend that, by the way. That was insane. But I was like trying to figure out, well, if they make it through, how am I can't miss it. Right. What am I going to do? Anyway, that didn't come to pass. You know, sort of reality set in, the fairy dust ran out or however you want to put it. But, you know, so I think, you know, that I knew that they would compete. I didn't know that they would, you know, do as well as they did. And then the Olympic qualifying was kind of insane. Just the combination of like where they were playing, who was on that team. Cause it wasn't, you know, a lot of the guys who played in the World Baseball Classic couldn't go.
Right. They were not on that team.
Yeah. Like Josh Side wasn't there. And Ryan LaVarnway wasn't mm-hmm. there. I mean, you know, some of the key players were not there. Again, I had a feeling they would compete. Like the teams they were playing against were not exactly like powerhouses in terms of, you know, international baseball, but I had no idea. And, you know, so it was quite the ordeal. I wish we could have filmed it for a sequel. That didn't come to pass, but I'm excited to see them play in Tokyo. I wish, you know, I was somehow able to go, but I'll just have to, you know, be like everyone else and tune and watch. I think for me, like the most fun about the Olympic qualifying, I think I was in Arizona. And I honestly don't remember what time of year it was. Maybe it was during the fall league. Was it in the fall?
I believe.
Yeah. Well, whenever it was, I was in Arizona and I got up at like 4 in the morning to watch these games. And I like, you know, I've been doing this a long time. It's been a very long time since I felt a personal investment or cared so much about a team to do that, where I'm like up at 4 in the morning and I'm like yelling at my laptop and, you know, commenting with other people in the YouTube, you know, channel. And it was fun. It was fun to be a fan.
Yeah, it was. When you're living in Israel, by the way, the 4 a.m. bit is very frequent. The 2,
right,
3,
I'm sure.
4, Denny Avdia starting games, you know, 2:30, 3, 4 in the morning. NBA playoffs were up. So, you know, those are things that we're used to here in the Holy Land. Of course, we're on here with Jonathan Mayo, MLB.com, talking about the Israel national baseball team. And, of course, we're going to get on to the draft guys. Just before we get over to the two guys that were drafted, What do you think Israel can do here in the Olympics? I just saw the odds, and the odds makers didn't even have Israel listed. They had only five teams listed. I was like, where's Israel over here? So nobody's counting Israel to possibly do anything. But one thing that I do know is from speaking to some of the players, and I believe that Alon Leishman told me this, and Mitch Glasser also expressed it, that they are guys that know each other, whereas most of these other teams are, you know, made up of players that are coming from all different areas, and maybe that will be an advantage for Israel. But honestly, Jonathan, where do we see Israel, finishing this tournament? Can they win a medal? Will it be possible?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I think they're in the position, like, they're probably glad that they're being counted out, right? Because that's...
Oh, yes.
They're used to that. You know, it's a tough field because the teams that are playing have a lot of talent, right? Oh, yeah. You know, guys who have played at a high, you know, at a high level, even though, you know, you're not talking about current major leaguers or guys on 40-man rosters, but... you know, it was hard enough for them to qualify when they were playing teams in Europe. And this, you know, this field is kind of stacked. You know, that said, like, I would not discount them. Mm-hmm. I think they have guys with a lot of experience and a lot of pride. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, that you bring that up, that, like, they all know each other and how that's a big thing. Because the World Baseball Classic team, they kind of got thrown together. You know, the teams that they were playing in Asia had been practicing for like a month, and they were together for 3 days. Mm-hmm. You know, the core group that went to on that trip to Israel, I think, really helped, you know, sort of form a cohesive bond. And the fact that this shared heritage definitely played a part, right? None of them had ever been in a situation where everyone in the clubhouse was Jewish. You know, usually, mm-hmm. it's just one, maybe two, if you're lucky. So. The fact that they know each other certainly helps. I think they will be competitive, and it's going to come down to, I think it's kind of like it did at the end of the World Baseball Classic, how much pitching they have.
Right.
Because it sort of just ran out right after, you know, if you look at the last hurrah in the World Baseball Classic after Josh pitched so well, it sort of just ran out of arms. Mm-hmm. Which happens, right? Like in a tournament like this, you're going to need everybody.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what it's going to come down to. And I haven't looked at the rosters of the other teams, but you know, I look at the Dominican Republic, and I know, for instance, Julio Rodriguez is playing on that team, and he's one of the best prospects in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. Right? He is better than anyone on Team Israel. Period. Right? So that doesn't mean that Team Israel can't compete against the Dominican Republic. It just, you know, it will be another sort of seemingly David versus Goliath setting, but you know, we should know by now not to count them out. I think they will compete very well. Could they like win a bronze medal? Yeah, it's six teams, so yeah, I think they could. You know, without knowing anything about, you know, the Mexican team, the Korean team, or the Japanese team, I don't really know who are on the rosters there, but yeah, you know, there'll be pressure on Japan to win because they're the host country, and you know, the United States like barely squeaked in, and like I don't know who they're sending, but you know, it's not always the top guys. They had some very good prospects play in this last round of qualifying who aren't necessarily going to Tokyo.
Oh, right. Well, it's pretty unbelievable. It's going to be exciting. We're going to be watching here, of course, in Israel, and I suggest everybody just tune in. SportsRabbi.com, of course, will have all the latest and greatest news about the Olympics and the Israeli national team. Jonathan, let's talk about the two Orthodox Jewish players that were selected in the MLB draft. Jacob Steinmetz goes 77th overall to the Arizona Diamondbacks in the third round. And then we have a second player, Eli Kligman, who's actually with the Israel national team right now. Mm-hmm. He's playing with them, a 593rd overall by the Nationals in the 20th round. What do you make of both of these guys? And, you know, how much did you know about them going into the draft? Jacob Steinmetz was somebody that we had interviewed at Sports Rabbi probably about half a year, 8 months ago. So we knew that there was potential. But it seems his stock actually went up over the last couple months, and he was highly rated by MLB.com as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe anything MLB.com says. Wait, that's me. Yeah, so I knew both of them. You know, I'll start with Ellie first, you know, and I know more. I mostly know about him because his father, Mark, is an agent who I'm friendly with.
Right.
It's been great because at the baseball winter meetings, when they intersect with Hanukkah, we do a big menorah lighting in the lobby of whatever hotel we're in. It's always funny with his backdrop, usually some humongous Christmas tree. But it's been the thing that's been growing, you know, as more and more Jews, because all the baseball descends there anyway. So I knew about him. I didn't think he was going to get drafted. And to be honest, I don't think the Kligmans thought he was going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. You know, that was not something that was on the radar, and it remains to be seen whether he signs.
Right, of course.
He may go on to college, but they're going to talk about it with the Nationals, and they're going to see. Jacob Steinmetz, you know, when you interviewed him, it was before he went down to Florida.
Correct.
Right. And that's why his stock raised. Like, he was a guy who was sort of like, well, you know, people in New York knew who he was. Mm-hmm. And he had some interesting ingredients, but, you know, he hadn't really pitched against anybody. And then he went down to a baseball academy in Florida. And I started hearing, you know, from Florida area scouts, like, this is a guy who needs to, like, be on your rankings, and this is a guy who you need to pay attention to. And he, you know, kept getting kind of better and better. And then, you know, he had a rough outing or two, but then, you know, continued his progression. And, you know, so we're talking about a guy who's, like, I don't have his stats in front of me, but was he 6'5"?
Yeah, 6'5", 6'6". Yeah.
He is like the sort of epitome of what you want in a high school, you know, projectable high school right-hander.
Right.
With some pretty good stuff. He was up to 94, 95 miles an hour at times, not consistently. He needs to add strength. The thing that really separated him was his curveball. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it got plus grades from scouts. Mm-hmm. Like, he already really has a very good feel to spin. And, you know, now with spin rates and things like that, he checks off all those boxes too. You know, so there's a good mixer. So I knew he was going to go at some point on day two. Right. And the way the draft works now, you know, if you get drafted in the top 10 rounds, you sign. You know, it's right. Been, I think, you know, last year was a weird year, so I don't even count that. But I think in 2019, there were only two players throughout all 10 rounds who did not sign. Mm-hmm. You know, a team's not going to take you if there's a fear you're not going to sign. So, like, clear that he was probably going to get drafted unless he told teams, like, you know what, I really want to go to Fordham.
Right.
And we'll worry about this later. So, you know, the Diamondbacks took him, and here's the best. This is the best part of it. One of the best parts of it. I mean, it was all fantastic. I mean, I got to speak Hebrew on TV, on MLB.com, which is not something.
How awesome is that? Right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that immensely, but I got a call from the Diamondbacks scouting director, who was just saying, like, in a very positive way, he's like, that he'd just been overwhelmed with the reaction to this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's ended up doing countless interviews with, you know, Jewish press and things like that.
Right.
And so he was like, it was amazing. He said to me, and he gave me permission to relay this story, but he said, here's the best part. I didn't even know, you know, like, he was not part of the group, I think, that sat down and, like, and interviewed him. Mm-hmm. You know, other people did that. And, you know, his name is Derek Ladner. And then Amiel Sade, who's like the assistant general manager there, they kind of run, you know, do things together. And, you know, Amiel has a Jewish background, and
right.
I'm sure that didn't hurt. But the thing that Derek told me is, like, it was great. Like, we took him because, like, he can really pitch.
Right.
He's big and he can spin a curveball. Like, this is just kind of like a bonus, and they're going to work to make this work for him. And, you know, it's interesting because he's willing to pitch
yes.
on Shabbat.
Yeah.
As long as he can, you know, walk
right.
and things of that nature. Ellie will not.
Right.
And that's a little bit of a separator, but, like, you know, as we all know, that, you know, there are all different types of Jews, you know? And so mm-hmm. even within the realm of, you know, being Shomer Shabbos and being more observant and Orthodox, there are varying degrees of what people are willing and not willing to do. And it, for me personally, it's all good, but it's so exciting that both of them got drafted. Mm-hmm. And then I just, we can talk more about this, but like, I got a text from my son, who is playing college baseball right now. And he recognized another name, Sean Gusenberg from Northwestern, who was a 19th round pick of the White Sox. And he said he remembered him because my son went and did an internship with Israel Baseball during the Maccabi games a few years back.
Right.
And Sean Gusenberg was on Team USA. He was on the 18 and under team.
Nice.
Before he went on to college. So that's a third Jew who went in the 2021 draft. There may be others, to be honest with you, but that's one I read. I didn't want poor Sean Gusenberg to be left out of this conversation.
You know, I guess that was Josh Rowich's little parting gift, maybe, with the Diamondbacks before he went over to the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, I talked to him about that. He was, you know, because he's still officially with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but we shared some excitement over what had transpired. It really is quite remarkable. Yeah.
Before I let you go, and this has been great, Jonathan, I just want to tell you a story about Josh Rowich. Years ago, got to be over a decade ago, he was an intern with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And I was in touch with the Dodgers to try to get an interview with Vin Scully. And Josh Rowich was the guy that organized it, set it up. And Vin Scully was fabulous. I mean, he was just unbelievable. He told great stories about when he was in Israel. It was a spectacular interview. And then to just keep this relationship and see Josh go from that to the Diamondbacks and now to the Hall of Fame is just something, you know, something else. And I think, you know, as Jews, we should be very proud of, you know, what we have been able to do and how we have been able to climb up the ladders. And it's going to be exciting to see the Israel team play in the Olympics. And it's going, if they, you know, whatever is going to happen, they're going to be a great story. And I think they unite all of American Jewry with the love of baseball and the love of Israel together. And with these, you know, both with Jacob Steinmetz and Ellie Kligman, it's just an amazing, amazing story going into this exciting summer right now. And so much looking forward. I'm so happy you've been able to join us to talk about this with us.
No, it's great. And it is all fantastic. And Josh Rowich is one of the best human beings I've come across in baseball. You know, other people sort of rise to the top and, you know, the way they get there is not always so commendable. And he's just, he is a top-notch human being. So I'm very happy to him. And I'm already trying to figure out how I can get to Cooperstown. I haven't been there in a while anyway, but now this gives me an extra reason to go visit him and his family. And, yeah. And yeah, I think this is, you know, it's been a tricky time to be Jewish, you know, lately. And to have things just to celebrate and like with no strings attached, right? There's no like, yeah, but, or, you know, it's just wonderful. What, you know, you can be the most secular Jew in the world and to see these, you know, observant Orthodox Jews get drafted, it's phenomenal. Like, I hope it works out for both of them. You know, it's getting to the major leagues is really, really hard, but mm-hmm. like just to see them try, and you know, with Ellie, whether he does it now or, you know, a few years from now when he, you know, after he goes to college, it's fantastic. And I think it's a step, all of it is sort of normalizing, I think, right. You know, in a lot of ways without giving up anything. I think that's what's really remarkable about it. You know, so much of the history of American Jewry is about assimilation. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But I think that one of the things that really stands out about this particular story in this moment in time is that these two young men are very firm in who they are and what they will and won't do. And, you know, instead of, you know, being kind of coerced into changing who they are, we've reached this moment where you have the Arizona Diamondbacks saying, we're going to figure this out and make it work. And, you know, and I think the same thing will happen for Ellie Kligman, whether, you know, he goes to a Division I college or signs with the Nationals. They, you know, they're going to figure it out to give them the best chance at success without asking them to give up any of their core beliefs that are clearly so important to them.
Well, there may be a scholarship available at Fordham perhaps.
That's right. And Ellie does pitch. You know, if they want to put him on the mound, he could even fill that spot. That would be ironic, wouldn't it?
It would be very ironic. Jonathan Mayo, of course, he is at MLB.com. You can reach out to him on Twitter at Jonathan Mayo. I'll have that link in the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun. We're looking forward to the Olympics. Love to have you back on, you know, at some point, just to talk about Jews and baseball down the road. We'd have a great time doing that. Of course, we'll get to Dean Kramer maybe and Sandy Koufax, and they should all have good careers, live long lives, and continue. Jonathan, one last thing. Are you really the mensch on the bench?
I can neither confirm nor deny that. No, I am not the mensch on the bench.
I hope the mensch on the bench is taking that trip to Tokyo.
Yeah, no, I was not there was no one ever inside the mensch on the bench. Well, we did some screenings when the movie came out where we had people like put on the costume, but like for the filming, that was just the full size mensch on the bench. Sort of puppeteered, I guess, marionetted, however you put it.
This was great, Jonathan.
I like that rumor, though.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us here on the Sports Rabbi Show. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for having me.